One phrase we've heard a lot since the start of protests across the Middle East is emergency law. Now, you'd think that an emergency law would be a temporary measure, something that would stop once the emergency is over. But in various Arab countries, emergency laws have dragged on for decades in some cases. In Syria, for instance, an emergency law has been in force for nearly 50 years. In Egypt, emergency legislation lasted all 30 years of the Mubarak era and is still on the books now. In both nations and in others across the Middle East, the laws have been used to justify the detention and torture of dissidents. Nathan Brown has studied the use and abuse of the rule of law in the Middle East. He's a professor of political science and international affairs at George Washington University. Nathan Brown, what does emergency law mean on the ground in the Middle East? Is it simply a euphemism for doing away with the Constitution and suspending civil rights?
You could certainly say that what it does is put into the legal system this kind of loophole. You have the regular constitutional system on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have this parallel legal system. It doesn't operate outside of any legal framework. There's a separate kind of emergency legal framework, but when the state of emergency kicks in, then essentially there's a whole set of devices that allow the rulers to avoid the regular legal system, avoid the regular courts, avoid the kind of procedures that are called for in the Constitution, and do things in accordance essentially with whatever they see as necessary for whatever reason.
For you, Nathan Brown, which rulers in the Arab world have used emergency laws most effectively for their own ends?
Well, that's a tough contest. I mean, I would say that if you're looking at the Arab world, the Egyptians probably led the effort. They've had the emergency rule the longest. Egyptian lawyers have had a great deal of influence elsewhere in the Arab world, so sometimes they were the ones who drafted these provisions for elsewhere. They managed to find the most areas of law where you could sort of insert emergency measures. But again, the Syrian, certainly the old Iraqi regime, the one that we overthrew in 2003, all of these have made use of emergency provisions.
What do you think has to be done to effectively move beyond this? I mean, if a country doesn't have kind of the infrastructure of a normal civil society, how can you get beyond emergency law?
Well, there's two ways you could do it. The sneaky way is this. What governments have started saying is, okay, we understand there's some pressure from the outside, there's some pressure from our own societies. We'll be happy to lift the state of emergency, but what we need, you will hear this certainly from the former Egyptian regime, we need an Egyptian version of the Patriot Act. And so what they essentially meant was we've got to take what were emergency provisions and bury them elsewhere in an alternative legal framework. That, I think, could be done fairly easily, but it wouldn't give anybody what they wanted. The other way to do it would be essentially to make far greater restrictions and political oversight and time limitations on the state of emergency. And that's what they're talking about doing in Egypt.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Patriot Act, because I was going to ask you, what really is the difference when you come right down to it between these emergency laws in the Middle East and, say, you know, the argument put forth during the Bush administration after 9/11 that in a time of national crisis, people have to suspend a few of their individual freedoms? I mean, it's kind of the same rationale that was used to do everything from racial profiling at airports to wiretapping a wide range of individuals of interest.
Absolutely. And Arab rulers clued into this very early on and basically said, look, of course we want to end emergency rule and so on, but we're under the same kind of security conditions that you are, so we want to bring this into our regular legal system. And in a sense, what they've been getting over the last decade or so have been two contrasting messages from the international community. Human rights organizations and sometimes the more democracy-oriented parts of Western governments have been saying, you've really got to address this situation. And at the same time, the more security-oriented parts of Western governments, including the U.S. government, are saying, you have to take action against terrorism, you have to take action against money laundering. There are certain things we can't do in our legal system. We wouldn't mind turning these people over to you to do them. And they've been getting both of these mixed messages at the same time. The authoritarian regimes in the Arab world were happy to get that second message. Now that they're under pressure, the question is whether they will have to really revise their legal framework in accordance with domestic liberalizing forces and international and domestic human rights groups who are really pressuring for fundamentally redrawing these legal systems to get those emergency provisions out.
I mean, these emergency provisions, in the case of Syria, has been in effect for 50 years. Are you saying that since 9/11, the United States has almost been giving the rationale to these Arab countries to keep the emergency rules in place.
That's absolutely correct. Omar Suleiman, who was briefly Mubarak's vice president, but before that was essentially his security and intelligence chief, used to come to Washington and would be pressed. What are you doing about human rights? What are you doing about the state of emergency? And so forth and so on. And he would look very sweetly and say, of course we want to address this. Of course we want to have a regular rather than an emergency legal system, but we just need an Egyptian Patriot Act. And in fact, the Egyptian government was working on one that would essentially have taken this step.
Nathan Brown, a professor of political science and international affairs at George Washington University. Great to have you with us in the studio. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for having me.
You can see a video of Nathan Brown explaining how emergency laws in the Middle East are rooted in colonial rule. That's at theworld.org. This is PRI.